Good morning. Good morning. I looked down and I thought, I can't read. I didn't have my cheaters on. I've lost my other little ones and it's just driving me nuts. So here is what I have for this morning. All are welcome. Welcome, our precious and holy Jesus gently offers this to each one of us. Breathe. Breathe in the breath of the Spirit of God and be free and be simple. Pray. Pray your prayers, kneeling your heart in front of the throne of grace. Love. Remember, God loved you first, waits to hear your prayers. You're talking to him. He waits every moment of every day to hear your voice talking to him. Be still, be present, body, mind, and spirit, here in the presence of Jesus among us now. Welcome again to one and all. Beautiful day outside. This is going to be a long, full day. And it will be beautiful later, and we will talk a little bit about that. Today, we are quite honored because we will have a service of ordination to Christian ministry of our very own Paula Nybert. It will be at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary, and then a reception will follow with lots of beautiful, well-prepared, by hand, just wonderful food. So please plan to stay, but at least come for the celebration. It is sacred and it is holy to honor one that has been set apart and will be ordained into Christian ministry. She's quite excited and just full of the Spirit right now. And help her celebrate that day that she will never forget. Jeremy and children are back there, and they will never forget it either. And he has walked with her every step of the way and will continue to do that. In fact, I feel they are called into ministry together. And so that's my personal opinion. That may not be a universal opinion. So come and share this glorious time with us. Look at the back of your bulletins because that is a continuation of worship, I believe, outside of this hour or so that we meet together. There are missions and ministries and fellowship chances and opportunities for you to come among your brothers and sisters in Christ. All are welcome, regardless if you've been here before, haven't been here before, are a member, aren't a member. Everyone is welcome to these opportunities. The first one is Bible study at 7 p.m. in Fellowship Hall. And they are studying Genesis right now. In fact, Doug Hendrickson said he probably won't live through the whole of learning about this Bible. So we're going to just keep it up then so that he just lives forever. Community dinner, 5 o'clock. They are still successful. Nancy, didn't you tell me 36 or 37 this last week? Just continuing to flourish and they're getting good feedback. They feed them good food, and they're gentle and kind to them. And so just kind of pass the word around. We do every day when people come into the office. Thursday, May 26th, Trailblazers, 10 a.m. And Friday, May 27th, this year we're going to do something different for VBS. The whole group of people that got together decided that what we would do is, rather than doing VBS in 2 or 3 or 4 days in a row, we're going to combine it with downtown Franklin activities. The first one will be Strawberry Fest this Friday. And so this Friday, before that begins, or maybe it begins during the day, but Jam with Tab, ages 4 to 10, are invited to come and experience a camp out sort of experience for 4 to 6 4 to 10-year-olds from 4 to 6 p.m. And we will have a Bible story, we will have crafts, we will have games, and it all will go around and support the story of Christ. So if you have any neighbors' children, if you have grandchildren, please invite them to come. And then as the summer goes on, then we'll have other events like that. And then they will have a lock-in, the teens. And does someone want to talk about that?
Dana? 18 confirmed right now.
Woo!
If anybody wants to volunteer to bring breakfast the next morning, that would be great. It can be donuts, or I think we've even had Raphael's fixed eggs and pancakes and all kinds of stuff for us. So if anybody's interested in that, please let me know. But I'm looking forward to next Friday with all the teenagers.
I think that will be great. They actually encouraged that, to have a lock-in, and then they decided that they go to the show, and I think they'll have a great time. So, all are welcome. So let's stand and do our call. Yes, I'm sorry. I should have said, are there any others? Monica?
Yeah. Savannah was in Muncie last weekend for the orchestra, and they had their chair placements and got first chair and two solos for the tour this summer.
Wow. We're proud of you. What an honor that is. I never sat anywhere close to first chair for anything. That is quite a gift. Thank you for sharing that, Monica. Are there any others? Okay. Let's pray our call to worship. Stand, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you haven't already assigned the attendance pew, if you send it to attendance pad, send it down the pew, I'd appreciate that. O God of 1,000 faces, who sees through all pretenses,
to that silent, secret space within where our true spirit resides,
prune away the false self shown that masks our best intentions,
all those quick defenses that disguise who we really are.
Open us up to you and to all who would touch the truth of our being.
So we see the integrity of lives given over to you, now and forever. Amen.
Would you please turn to page 570 in your hymnal, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and sing verses 1 and 3.
Thank you.
Now let us greet one another as brothers and sisters in Christ.
The word of God is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, and the Pew Bibles, it's on page 62 of the New Testament. One day he was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Master, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So he said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, reveal who you are, set the world right, keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil.'" Then he said, "Imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend traveling through just showed up and I don't have a thing on hand.' The friend answers from his bed, 'Don't bother me. The door's locked. My children are all down for the night. I can't get up to give you anything.' But let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father, who conceived you in love, will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him?"
All right. If I say knock, knock, what do you say? God. God is there and he answers prayer. So when you pray, what do you guys call God? What do you call him? Lord, that's a good one. Anything else? Jesus Father. Jesus calls God Father and we can too. And it means that we are God's very own children, and we can talk to him just like we talk to our mom and our dad. We don't need to use big words. Just talk with God. And any name is fine, but Jesus wants us to remember that God is as close to you as your mom or your dad or someone who loves you very much. And Jesus says to pray that God's kingdom will come to pass. What's that mean? It means that at that time when everyone will follow God, and when that happens, there will be peace, and all people will be friends. We will know God's love, and we will love the planet that God made. And we need to practice living that way from now on, being peacemakers and friends and forgiving people. Now that's something worth praying for. Jesus tells us how we are to pray for ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus does not mean that we should just pray for bread and maybe peanut butter. He means that we can pray for the things we need in order to live as God wants us to live, like water to drink or a house to live in, right? We trust God to provide those things every day. But we do not make them the things that we are most concerned about. Lastly, we should pray for how we treat others. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now, this is hard. We have to work at forgiving people who have been mean to us. Now, it doesn't mean that it's okay that someone hurts us. It's not okay. And it doesn't mean that we have to let them keep on being mean to us. We may have to get away from them if they don't stop. We may have to tell an adult or someone to help us, right? But to forgive someone truly means that you need to ask God to take the anger out of your heart. And that's hard. Jesus taught us how to pray. Now let us go forth and follow his directions, and let's remember to pray to him every day. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words and guidance. Lord, we pray for a world of peace where everyone does know you. Please help those in great need that they may find food and shelter. Also, please help us. Please help us to forgive and stop the anger within us. Forgive us for all our sins this week, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
We come to a time of prayer, and we bring our joys to this place called sanctuary so that we might multiply those joys. We also bring our worries and concerns and sorrows here so that our brothers and sisters in Christ may help us divide the weight of it, so that our burden might be lightened a little bit. And so we share our joys and concerns now. I have a few already. One is there's congratulations in order for a couple of people. Dr. Karen Harden, she didn't want me to say anything, so don't tell her. No, I'm just kidding. She hasn't got the certificate yet, but she submitted her paper, defended her paper, and they have granted her a doctorate. So we do. Let's just applaud. I know she's not here. As much as she didn't want it to detract from Paula's day, and I said, well, Paula's not going to be there, so just let me bring that in too. And we've got enough joy in our hearts that we can celebrate everyone, right? So she was fine with me saying something about it. It would have been very hard not to tell you. She called me the other night to let me know. I got a call yesterday, and I didn't see it. And then about 9:30 last night, I discovered it. So I went ahead and called Cindy Foster, because she and Mike had called, and they are new grandparents. Elizabeth, I'll give you the statistics. Elizabeth Luella Fox is baby's name, 7 pounds, 9 ounces, 19 inches long, born at 7:56 a.m., on Friday, May 20th. Mama, Whitney, and Daddy, Tim, are doing just fine. She was in a state of ecstasy. If you've ever seen somebody or heard someone in a state of ecstasy, she just kept repeating how glad they were to be grandparents and how proud they were, and she was just perfect. And oh, she wanted you to know she has slightly curly black hair, a whole head of it. So just if you see her, make sure you make note of that and that we've talked about it. So they are most joy filled with that, and they're over in Ohio, and will be there to sort of help out in the first few days. So that's quite a privilege. And so we lift them up in prayer and celebration, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. I also ask prayers for my Steve. He is having sciatic pain that comes every once in a while at will. It's Holy Spirit sciatic pain, because it just comes when it wants to come. So he's in quite a bit of pain, but he came anyway today, and I thank him for doing that. So let's lift him up in prayer to the Lord for some pain relief, and may he just be able to for that just to go away like it does sometimes without him going to the doctor. So we lift him up to the Lord. O Lord, hear our prayers. We continue to hold in prayer Norval Wheatley. Margaret had called me the other day, and I'd gone in to see him and pray with him. And then yesterday, I just had an urging in my heart to go. And when I do that, it's not good if I ignore it. So I went. He was great. He had good color. He was talkative. He was sharp of mind and all that. But he'd had a heart attack the day before. So keep him in your greatest prayer. He's going to have another pacemaker put in Monday or Tuesday. So Monday or Tuesday, if you think of Norval, just lift him in prayer. But he's great. So but he will continue also for rehab for his hip, which is why he's there. So we lift him up to the Lord and lift Margaret also for patience and the ability to wait. And so we lift them up to the Lord and we pray. Oh, Lord, hear our prayers. Bob Hensley is having surgery this Wednesday, and so we just pray for successful surgery and a great recovery and some patience and peace as Frieda waits as he goes in for surgery. And we pray, oh, Lord, hear our prayers. If you will put your hand on your bulletin, there's a prayer list right there. Since we're talking about prayer today, sometimes, I mean, I look at the list because it's part of what I do during the week. But sometimes if you're praying, you might just do that or pray individually for each one and picture them standing next to God and just kind of connect them. And so we just lift them all up to the Lord for whatever their need is. And we pray, oh, Lord, hear our prayers. I also have had several in the last couple of weeks that have more questions than answers, and they are being overwhelmed with this in their living. May they turn to God often to discern the path that God is calling them to, and may they follow and trust, and follow and trust in the unanswered questions. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. I lift up Paula and Jeremy and their family, their children, as they go into ministry in the not-too-distant future, because it will be a great joy, but it's probably going to be the hardest work they've ever done. And so we will continue to pray for you and pray for your family and pray for their, you know, transition if they leave the area. So we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Are there any others that you'd like? Yes, Bernice. Ted Martin. We lift up Ted Martin in prayer for all of his needs and for your strength to support him. And it's good to have you back. And so we lift you up to the Lord, and we lift Ted up, and we pray, oh, Lord, hear our prayers. Do you want to say something about Natalie, or you want me to say that? No. Absolutely. Absolutely. Her name is Natalie. It's Parrish's sister. So to go with pancreatitis. It's probably pretty frightening. So we pray fear be relieved, that there be comfort, there be relief from pain because it's painful, and that all those who wait and wonder may find some comfort and known presence of the Lord. And so we pray to the Lord, O Lord, hear our prayers. Anyone else? Yes. Oh, Sydney's over here. Wait. Yes. Sydney and all students, we pray for success in studying and success in test taking. And may it be just fly by and you all do exceptionally well. And we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, oh, Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you, Sydney. That's a very considerate thing to do. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Yes. Mary Jane Rose, she came to play for Healing Hearts, And that was the first time and only time that I've met her before this morning. And she has graced us with her time and her energies here. And we just lift her up to the Lord in praise. And we say, or pray, O Lord, hear our praise. Thank you, Mary Jane. Yes, she, I knew we wanted to get her on our roster. So thank you so much. Okay, anyone else? All right. Let's bow our hearts before our Lord, before the throne of grace. Oh, listening God, who hears all our prayers, spoken and unspoken. We come to you this morning, praising you and wanting to be so near to you that we know and sense your holy presence. We pray that what we need be fulfilled, gracious Jesus. To be called beloved, to be called beloved here in this life. O Lord, hear our prayer. Understanding God, we pray because we cannot help ourselves in our helplessness. We pray because our need pours out of us all the time towards you. Oh God, hear our prayers, and may we know that you do not change, but in our praying, we are changed. Help us in your answers to be less critical and more trusting. Grant, Holy Lord, each one a sense of humor. Walk us back to our heart, away from the messy, serious, dark part of our minds. Oh, living God, each time we come to you begging, may we remember to say, help us, Lord. We thank you, sweet Jesus. And wow, glory to you, our God in the highest. May we in prayer follow your lead, good shepherd, and open ourselves to helping your children, whether they be long-lived or little. Loving one, may we learn to love every aspect of self. May our genuine service to others show our love of self and others as you have, do and will love us all. Thank you for gathering us to pray together. Those who share our journey, our heartaches, our hopes, our joys, our dreams, our fears. May we, God, with us, hold you and those we pray for together in the center of our desiring heart, so that we feel and experience the blessing going over to them. Lord, forgive us as we are to forgive ourselves and others. Teach us to repent and turn back to reside in you, and through our prayers, may we listen and change for our good and the good of the world. And if we are in a time of trial or a time of joy, may we be connected to you, present God, in all times through our prayers. May we be persistent in our prayers to you, Lord, as the neighbor in our text. We pray especially today for the families of those on Egypt Air Flight 804 as they mourn and weep and wait in desperation. We pray for comfort. And may they feel and experience the prayers and concerns of those praying around them in the world. We pray for those whose greatest problem is a life flooded with violence every day and the trauma they experience with long-lasting effects. We pray for knowing the nearness of you, precious Lord, in people that care and reach out to them with passion, compassion, and real help. We pray for children and adults whose tremendous hunger in their stomachs, in hearts, in spirit, consume their living. Hear our prayer of hope and help, O Lord. And bless and keep safe those women and men who serve and protect the vulnerable and their families who live with concern and worry in the danger surrounding them. Stay close where we need you most, in our mistakes, grant healing. In our emptiness, bless with the inflowing of you. O Lord, in our nothingness, O God, be there, filling us with hope and treasuring you all along the way of life. We pray to you, O Lord, the prayer that Jesus taught, beautiful then, grace-filled and precious now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our God is a God of new beginnings. So let us come bearing the gifts of our labor to lay down our tithes and offerings right before the throne of grace. May our Jesus bless us so we might be a blessing to the people of need that he sends to us, and may we do his will and purpose for our giving.
God of abundance, you have filled our lives with your blessings and gifts and drawn us into community with you and with one another, and we thank you. We dedicate our lives and these offerings to you and to serving you. Pour your spirit into us, bless us all so that we may be a blessing to others and carry out your will and purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Music is a prayer. Take a big deep breath and let it all out. Anything that burdens your heart, anything that troubles your mind, anything that is toxic in your soul. And let it remain outside these doors just for a little while longer. If you pick it back up when you go outside, okay. But for a while, rest in the loving arms of Jesus, for his presence is here. And I feel his presence, and I hope you do too. Would you pray with me? Gracious and hope-filled God, we pray in expectation. May we always do so, knowing that you will hear and answer our prayers according to your timing, but they are always answered. Painful as it is to wait and wait, we know that you are here, that you sit with us, and that you will always answer them, and that you always hear us. We ask now that we hear you. We hear your message in these words that are human and flawed. But I ask that they be made beautiful and taken into the hearts of your people so that their prayer life be rich and so that we be changed to be the best we can be. It is in the sweet name of Jesus the Christ, most precious. Amen. It was a beautiful evening. The disciples were relaxing around a campfire. I was saying in the first service, we have a fire pit. And when we go and sit around that fire pit, sometimes in pretty hot weather, it is very calming. And everything flows into those flames as we sit there and talk. And conversation is pretty good at the beginning, and then it sort of floats away. And the cares of the day do also. When our grandkids share that time with us, they may have to get homework done or they have someplace they need to be, but they'll say they're going, and then in an hour they're still sitting there looking at the flames. I think it might have been that way in the time of Jesus. I think they may have sat around and talked about things of the world, things that hurt them, things that made them joy-filled. But they did it around a fire pit. So they're sitting there, and they'd spent the day with Jesus, and they'd heard him in his teachings and watched him in his healings. Now they were trying to figure out what his words meant and how he acted with such power. In the midst of their discussion, Jesus appeared out of the darkness and joined them. They grew quiet. They knew Jesus had been somewhere praying. He began and ended every day by finding a deserted place, talking with God through prayer. Usually, he returned to his disciples with some fresh insight, but tonight he sat silently gazing at the fire. On such nights, Jesus wanted to answer their questions. Thomas, who had been waiting for the chance, cleared his throat and asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, I'm going to step aside for a moment out of our story for some questions. Do you remember who taught you how to pray? Do you remember the first time you ever prayed out loud? Today's gospel takes us back to the beginning of praying with and in Jesus Christ. Jesus must have smiled and sort of leaned back and said, "When you pray, remember to whom you're speaking. Don't say words merely to impress those who might overhear your conversation with God. Instead, find a place of quiet where you can be honest with God. Then become more interested in hearing from God than being heard by others. And don't forget that a good conversation has both listening and speaking between those talking together." Jesus, no doubt, let the disciples know that God waits. God waits for us to come to him in prayer. He delights in our conversations with him. And we don't need fancy words or a degree from seminary to catch the attention and joy of God. We don't need a special complicated formula to talk to God, although in seminary we're given a formula. As Anne Lamott wrote, "This is prayer. Thank you, help me, will work just fine." End of quote. Many in the beginning of praying out loud are anxious and do not want to pray in front of their pastor or their elders, feeling their prayers are lacking. Maybe they're too short, or they hesitate a little bit, trying to think of the next thing to say. The other thing is they don't want to say the wrong words. They want to say the right ones. We all do it. I've done it myself. It helps to remember who we are praying to, especially when you're praying out loud, because the temptation is to pray to the people surrounding you. Well, Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. You may have noticed there's no doubt that we will pray. Don't you think that's interesting? There's no doubt that we will pray. I find it astounding sometimes when I meet people and they say, I'm not religious, but they pray. And sometimes they pray just by saying, oh God, help me. And so Jesus understands our human tendency for prayer. And so he began to teach them to pray. He began with the words, when you pray, not if you pray. Jesus knows that everyone will eventually find a reason to go to God in prayer. Now, stepping again outside of the story, notice how direct the prayer is and deeply human. It is a prayer for human beings, you and I, that is, for creatures in need. It is a prayer that begins by glorifying, elevating, praising, worshiping God, by hallowing, calling sacred, holy his name. Then Jesus reminds us that God is our supreme ruler in the words, your kingdom come. In other words, God up there, down here, and out there, God rules. Your kingdom come underlines the urgent tone of the prayer. The central asking, that petition of the prayer, is for God to provide daily bread, a significant symbol representing nourishment for life. Dana said to the children, it's not bread that he's talking to, although you might pray for bread. When we as disciples, the church, pray, we open ourselves to receive Jesus as the bread of life that God provides now and will provide forevermore. Jesus tells this parable and takes them and us into the story by saying this invitation. Suppose one of you, this is encouraging us to imagine that we are the neighbor who is asleep at midnight. Now, I can tell you, Steve and I would be asleep at midnight most nights. And I know that when I had small children and they weren't easy to get down and somebody called late or knocked on the door, it was an awful thing to try and get them settled back down. So, one time, this guy is asking for bread. And in the midst of that, I started thinking about in the ancient Near East and in Kentucky, the rules of hospitality called for a host or hostess to provide a meal whenever travelers arrived. Once when our son was a toddler and Steve had gotten off work late, we headed down to his great aunt's farm in Kentucky. We got there around 11 o'clock. Well, they're farmers. They go to bed early, they get up early. But when we knocked on the door, everybody in the household got up. They got up and they made a feast of biscuits and gravy and fried potatoes and canned sausage and bacon and eggs and coffee. And we ate until our bellies ached. It would have been rude not to eat such food. It would have been rude for them not to provide such a meal down in Kentucky. But it's also, it would have been rude in the time of Jesus. In our parable, the 12 midnight cupboard of the neighbor is bare. The host is sleeping, and as is his whole entire household. So the friend, with his need to be hospitable to a guest who has arrived so late, he's come to the house, and he's persistent, and he will not stop knocking or yelling for help. This parable is not about the church knocking and God not responding. It's scripture that arguing from a lesser to a greater point of view. Jesus says, essentially, he is teaching through this parable, if a cranky neighbor will arise and provide bread in the middle of the night to get rid of the knocking, how much more will God, who is generous of character, is revealed as revealed in Luke 6 and later in Luke 12, how much more will God provide for the church? In fact, the Holy One, blessed be He, responds, and the more persistent, listen to this, the more persistent we are, the more He loves us. How many people can say that? The more persistent someone is at you, do you love them more? Well, it depends on how persistent they are and how patient you are. But the more persistent we go to God and keep asking, God loves us even more. He wants that connection with us. It's like caller ID. I don't think God, when He looks at caller ID, when Evie calls for the millionth time about a certain problem, I don't think He looks at it, rolls His eyes, and says, I'm not answering that this time. She's called once too many times. He is one who comes and says, please call me, no matter what. To pray for bread is to turn to God to provide for both physical and spiritual needs. The parable is both a call and an encouragement. It calls us as listeners to pray to God's realm, pray for God's realm, and to live it and tell it. And the nourishment through prayer, listening to God in worship, word, cup, and bread, will enable us to meet the resistance to witness. Because sometimes we don't want to say the words out loud, but we can act in Christian ways. And if I, as a parent, broken and flawed, indebted to Jesus, wrap my arms around my children and my grandchildren and all other children that I encounter and bind up their wounds, how much more will God do for us in this world? You see, the object of prayer is not so much as to lose oneself in prayer in the divine, but it is to find ourselves, to become so far as possible who you really are to be in God's will and purpose for each one of you. We depend totally on God. So we pray, God, give us. We are guilty of wrong. And so we pray, forgive us, God. We are lost, sometimes terribly lost and vulnerable. And so we pray, lead us, deliver us. And the God Jesus tells us to pray to is glorious, glorious in His love. And when we pray, sometimes we come so close to our Lord that we absorb the source of new strength. When we think we cannot do it one more time, we find strength, even if it's a weak strength. Prayers need to be understood by their motives as much as by their words. King David, on one of his better days, prayed, close your eyes. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. This may be a prayer we should pray before we pray. It acknowledges how easily we pray wrong for wrong reasons. But David was asking God to teach him to pray deep soul prayer, deep soul prayer. He is exposing himself. He is revealing himself, things that God already knows, but that we need to be aware of and open ourselves to God. That is a deep soul prayer. This was what the disciples were seeking when they asked Jesus to teach them to pray. It was not that the disciples did not know how to pray. They prayed the Shema twice a day. They prayed 18 times a day. They knew they wanted more than a ritual prayer. And there's nothing wrong with ritual prayer. But they were asking about the attitude of prayer. What goes on the inside of us? Are we truthful with God? Do we seek the truth with God? What do we ask for? What do we give thanks for? They wanted to know about what goes on when you pray inside. Today's gospel invites us to reflect on the story of our prayer life and where it has taken us or where it hasn't taken us. We owe a debt of gratitude to those who put us on the path to pray. It is an essential part of life. Barton Stone, one of our founders for our denomination, proclaimed, "True faith is characterized by a praying spirit." True faith is characterized by a praying spirit. True faith is that through which people receive the Holy Spirit. He said the habit of prayer produces a habitual sense of God's presence and an awareness of our dependence on God. There was an exercise I did one time. I had people gather in a circle, and every time I said the word Lord, God, any name of God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, they were to step forward. And of course, at one point, they couldn't move, and they were so close to each other. And I said, that's what praying to God does. It brings you close to God, but it brings you close to other Christians praying with you. He said the habit of prayer produces a habitual sense of God's presence and awareness of our dependence on God. I thought it bared repeating. This, Stone believed, is the foundation for a holy life, not a perfect life, but forming a holy, wrapped in integrity character. Stone called prayer our highest privilege, and it creates a heart of gratitude towards God. Now close your eyes, and we will finish. The next time you are praying like Jesus, imagine yourself standing before the throne of grace. Imagine God is standing with you, and for that moment, there is no one but you and God. Take hold of his hand and lean hard into him. And you hear this prayer that Jesus prayed. And the two of you make a vow to one another in this prayer. God has listened to those words also. God has promised to deliver you from evil. God has promised to lead you from temptation. God has vowed to forgive your sins and give you all you need. God has chosen you as his partner in bringing about the kingdom, his reign. You are God's beloved. Amen. You are not the only one saying amen. God says amen with us. God says it also. And be in an attitude of prayer as you live out your faith, willingly following closely the perfect one. You do not require, are not required to be perfect, just to, with desire and seeking, follow the one who is. Amen. We hope and pray that you've been moved to prayer and that you've been moved to pray and have prayer placed upon you. And so if you felt that, if you felt the presence of God, if you felt urged by the Spirit of God to come forward and unite with us to faithfully follow Jesus Christ, please come during the singing of our hymn of invitation. It is I Need Thee Every Hour, number 578. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
We come before God with our concerns and needs. God in heaven scoops us up into his arms and says, "Peace, be still, trust me." We then are called to quiet ourselves, settle ourselves into God and God's presence, and discover how God has provided what we needed all along, his love. God's most glorious love for us was and is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who laid down his life willingly for each one of us. Jesus says, "All are welcome to my table, to this holy meal, my simple, sacred meal." So let us prepare our hearts by singing My Faith Looks Up to Thee, page 576, one verse only, please.
Father God, in the quiet of this morning, may we find peace in talking with you. May we find help and comfort and love. As we pray to you, Lord, help us to learn to not only speak, but to listen. As we have heard from Evie's sermon this morning, Lord, we're learning each day how to pray, and yet we know how to pray. As we partake of this bread, Lord, we give you thanks for its significance. And we ask that you bless it so that it might become a symbol of strength to carry through your will. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this wine we share in remembrance of Jesus' blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for all your blessings, and especially for the comfort of knowing when we knock, you always answer. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Help us to forgive others. As we walk in the love and the safety of your light, help us to be a reflection of that to others. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Bow your heads for a moment. On the night that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was betrayed, he gathered his disciples together. He took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we drink of the cup and eat of the bread, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. As we get ready to leave this place, we will sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." It is not by chance that I selected that, because when we leave this place, we hope and pray that the Lord leads us and has his way with us. And so we're going to sing hymn number 588. We're going to sing verse 1 only. And then, if you will allow me, I will bless you as you go from this place. If you will stand. Bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In your prayers and in your living, may God be known with you on the road of life's suffering. May Jesus Christ be experienced in your celebrations. May the Spirit of God be known within you to encourage and bless you at all times and in all places. Pray. Pray, pray, children of God, for it reminds us of who and whose we are. Go now and know that you are well loved. Go in peace. Amen.